Jesus. You're encouraging us in the book of Zechariah. You're speaking encouragement to those who are gathering around the burnt stones of the crucified Christ and believing that from them you are going to raise up a habitation for the Lamb in a way that far greater than whatever has come before, whatever we've had in the past, whatever we've known up to this point in our lives, Lord, no matter how glorious and strong and beautiful, just like the Jerusalem of old, of Solomon's time, must have looked to those who had seen it, of these people in Zechariah's prophecy time, Lord, but that which is being built within them and through them of the Lamb is so much richer and more glorious, and this is the encouragement that you raised up this man for this people at that time and at this time. And so, Father, we just open ourselves to the encouragement of the very word of your heart for your Lamb inside of us beyond all that we've known. Speak to us in chapter 4. Speak beyond what we will hear today. Plant in our spirit the living word, a rhema word straight from your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Zechariah chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 1. And the angel who talked with me came again and awaked to me as a man that is awakened out of his sleep. And so, wow, in this first verse of chapter 4, we see, number 1, that the angel who was speaking to him in chapter 3, which if you recall from last week, was really strong encouragement, incredibly precious encouragement. I mean, this is the Lord clothing this Joshua with the garments of a priest and gathering him so deep into oneness that he said, you know what? I have gathered and clothed and anointed and equipped you in such a deep, deep manner so that you could join in with me and be a builder, a partaker, a vessel of the Lamb. You know, incredible, precious things were spoken in the prophecy of chapter 3. But again, now, isn't it funny that we just need, like waves, the Spirit to continue to bring the living word over our parched and dry earth? That's our hearts, and that's our mind. We've got to be like, you know, Naaman the leper and wash 7 times in that Jordan. I mean, we are not just clean by one encouragement, one washing. We've got to be so immersed in his heart that we are just literally baptized into the Jordan. Not a hair of our head coming up. We are just swallowed up into the Lamb, so that when we appear again, it's him within us, in our motives, in our thought life, in our reactions, in how we see things, in how we hear things. You know, it's not a spooky weird thing that comes up out of the Jordan. It's a new nature within us. It's his nature within us. And we keep washing until he starts rising inside of us in real ways, in real situations. So let it be, Lord. Let it be, Lord. And so the angel who has been talking with him and us comes again. But this time I find it interesting because he's waking him up as a man who was awakened out of his sleep. And he's saying, listen, I want to give you some history here to make the sentence probably make a little more contextual sense. It's been about 15 years since the foundation was laid by Zerubbabel. That's the prince of Judah that brought alongside Joshua the priest all of the first group of people from Babylon to rebuild the burnt stones, rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. But the foundation was laid 15 years ago, and they're just there. They're just there in the rubble, just sitting in the rubble. And so the angel of the Lord is saying, wake up. Why? I don't know. Here's my thoughts. You're asleep. Why are you sleeping in the middle of the burnt, I mean, Faf was sharing about it in her prayers just now in our prayer time, in that burnt Jerusalem, which is literally the body of the crucified Christ. You're there. You've come hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles and living in all kinds of sacrifice and such to be in this physical location of Jerusalem with the purpose of rebuilding the temple, and yet you're sleeping. And it's been 15 years of slumber since you've laid a foundation. And he's like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And I just find that incredibly encouraging, that the Lord would send his angel and say, wake up, wake up. You know, is there not a cause? Is God not moving? Are you not here with purpose, with eternal purpose? Sometimes we just need the heavens to invade our earth and wake us up from our slumber. We all need it. I need it. And God is so gracious, isn't he? So gracious. The angel says in verse 2, to the man who was sleeping, probably Zerubbabel in this type, but in reality to us, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, I see a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and seven lamps on it, and seven pipes to the seven lamps that are on the top of it. This is why I sent the picture to you on our Skype thing, because I have, you know, I need to see it. The words confuse me. Verse 3, and two olive trees are by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of the bowl. So, okay, we've got this. The Holy Spirit, or God, this angel, this messenger, is waking up this builder prince to the reality of this image. This is what he's trying to wake him up to. He's specifically waking him up to look at this. Verse 4, so I answered and I spoke unto the angel that was talking with me, and I said, what are these, my Lord? What are these? And the angel who talked with me answered and said, you do not know what these are? I mean, the angel's like, honestly, the impression that I get is like, you've got to be kidding me. Seriously, you don't know what that is? And I said, no, my Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Verse 6, so the angel answered and said unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. These two olive trees, this golden lampstand with the bowl of oil and the flowing, and this is the word of the Lord that I am speaking to Zerubbabel right now. And the word that it's saying and shouting out in essence and spirit is saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. But by my spirit, say, okay, let's just pause. Let's just gather in some of all these ingredients that are cooking here. You got a guy, Zerubbabel, who has given his life, his family, his ministry, his everything to join out with the crazies, the few, the remnant, the desperate to give God what he wants, make this journey, get there, and in the first 2 years, literally lay the foundation for the entire temple. Powerful, powerful. But because of incredible discouragement, lots and lots of adversaries, constant problems and issues, so Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the people, the prince, the priest, and the people, they fall into discouragement and stay there for 15 to 18 years, at which time Zechariah is raised up of God to speak this prophecy, to speak this word of life, to breathe this word into them, to encourage them to rebuild. So we come to chapter 4 and we see the main builder man, Zerubbabel. He's sleeping deeply, has been for a long time, and an angel of God has to wake him up. And when he wakes him up, he shows him this vision. And this vision has these two olive trees, what we've just talked about, what we've just seen. And Zerubbabel does not say, who is this Lord? Which so many people say, who? He says, what is this Lord? What is this? And the angel says, this that you are seeing, this is my prophecy. This is my word. This is what the Lord is saying to Zerubbabel. This picture is what God's trying to say to Zerubbabel. And what is that which he's trying to say to Zerubbabel? What is this picture saying? And he says, this is what this picture is saying to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now the question mark right there, and as always in the scriptures, is what spirit is God talking about when he says by my spirit? Why do I say that? Because all of my years I hear, is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the spirit of a miracle? A God that works miracles and might and wonder, and the spirit of that powerful God is released to do a miracle? Is it just the Holy Spirit anointing us for a moment to do something by a gifting? Or is it the spirit of Christ, the spirit of the Lamb, who literally builds a temple by dying on a cross? Is by weakness and foolishness the very wisdom and power of God? Because let me tell you, there's a whole bunch of different directions based on how you read that words by my spirit. But if it's by the spirit of the Lamb, oh my Lord, what a word this is. Now, I believe it is speaking of the spirit of the Lamb on so many fronts that I see in the very verses that follow, but we're going to skip down just to enhance that possible interpretation. You have to ask the Lord and search the scriptures yourself. But to me, if you pop down to verse 10, it says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" Who has despised the day of small things? And right in those verses, I mean, I see the Lamb of God. Who hath despised Christ crucified? Who has despised the foolishness, the rejected cornerstone that builds the whole temple, the Messiah that's, you know, on a tree dying instead of on a throne reigning in power? Who has despised the small things, the small little slaughtered lamb that reigns and builds everything through death and selfless giving? Who is despised? And I say, hey, look at, he's talking about small things and despising the small things. And, you know, we've seen so many other pointing to the Lamb in all these other chapters that precede and are massively seated. Man, when you start plowing through this book up to the last chapters, you are going to see the Lamb on phenomenal levels in Zechariah to prove the point. We can't skip ahead. We're building, but wow. So I'm going to bank my heart on the fact that by my spirit is by the Lamb. Okay, we're going to build on that a little more. Verse 7, "Who art thou, O great mountain?" Before Zerubbabel, you're going to become a plain. All right, pause. Let's not go to the second half of the sentence. It doesn't say, "What art thou, O great mountain?" Now, I think that's important, because if it's a "What art thou, O great mountain?" then it's this situation and these adversaries and this king on the left and this Samaritan on the right and this decree over here and this, you know, guy in the camp here that's an issue and this problem with building materials here. It's, "What art thou, O great mountain?" That's a "what." But I believe the word of God is excruciatingly specific, because it's declaring Christ crucified. It's declaring God, my Lord. So the word is "who." Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become a plain. Okay, you've really got to ask the Lord if there's anything to this, but this is what comes to my heart right now. I don't know if this is the right interpretation. I don't. I just throw it down at the feet of the gathering here to just contemplate and ask. But for me personally, who is the great mountain that rises so big that I'm like, I can't even build this temple. I can't even move forward. It's impossible to get anything done for God, because this huge rising mountain keeps coming up. And I said, man, that sounds like Agag or Haman or me and my pride and my swelling, rising, reasoning, leavening, lifting up, selfing. Me, who art you, great mountain? But before Zerubbabel, you'll become low, a plain. And he's going to cry to the headstone of it, "Grace, grace." Well, to me, I mean, I just see that great mountain that is a "who" is that old nature that keeps swelling up and rising and rejecting and despising, swelling and rising, rejecting and despising that little lamb that's going to build the whole temple. who are you, big, strong, prideful, self-rising reasonings? You are going to become nothing before the wisdom of God, before the spirit and nature of the Lamb. You are going to fall and bow down and be destroyed and hewn to pieces and removed and threshed and winnowed out, because you have a nothing to do with the raising up of this temple. Is going to be raised up from the dead Lamb that's giving his life, the wisdom of God, the power of God's going to build this temple. And Zerubbabel is going to shout to that headstone, grace, grace, by grace he tasted death, by grace he laid his life down, by grace he went the way of the cross. I want a taste of that death, of that Jesus, that Lamb, and I'm going to shout when something is raised up so much that a habitation for God is built out of these burnt stones. I'm going to shout, that's the grace of God, not to anoint me, not to inspire me, but to give me the Lamb enough, where all my mountains that rise, all my reasonings that swell, all the things that lift themselves up that are not the glory of God, fall before the Lamb as he gives himself in death. My God, what a day that is. I think of Jesus sitting on that hill across from the temple, Herod's temple, when he was yet Jesus of Nazareth, you know, before the cross. And they're like, you know, Lord, what's this temple? The disciples are like, how are you going to rebuild this temple? Or y'all know the scripture better than me, but there's some kind of a conversation going on with the disciples asking Jesus a question about how the temple could, or what about this temple, something about Herod's temple. And Lord's like, hey, in 3 days, I'm going to take this temple down and rebuild it. And he was talking about his death. And of course, they're like, what kind of crazy man are you? What kind of strange word is this? You completely don't comprehend that kind of wisdom and that kind of building. How do you build by going on a cross and dying? Forget it. What kind of materials are you using to rebuild the temple when you're using nothing but the wood of a cross that's crucifying you? What kind of crazy, you know, architecture plan manual are you coming from? This is nuts. And yet we come into Zechariah and we, you know, read something like this, not by power, not by might, not by my spirit. And we start thinking of glorious revivals with great pieces of golden, you know, temple wood, and, you know, and this revival of Solomon's, you know, and we're crying when we see just burnt stones filled with the essence of the Lamb. We are crying when we see the rubble, which represents him and his death. And we fall asleep in discouragement. The angel says, wake up. Come on. This is my word to you, not by power, not by might, but by the nature of the Lamb. This temple will be raised by the nature of the Lamb. All these obstacles will fall by the nature of the Lamb. The glory will come, and you will shout out grace when the Father lifts up his Son who gave himself. For he who hath, you know, like Philippians 2 said, given himself completely even to the death of a criminal, wherefore hath God highly exalted him? Wherefore hath the Father raised him? Wherefore does this temple rise? Because of the spirit in which it was built, through the nature of the spirit of the Lamb. Well, that's hidden wisdom. That's foolishness. That makes no sense. For the Greeks, it doesn't make any sense at all with their doctrines. To the Jews, where's the miracle? Where's the power? But to those who are his, Christ crucified is the power and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I believe that there is hidden wisdom hidden in this prophecy, the hidden wisdom which is Christ crucified. Moreover, verse 8, moreover, if that's not enough, this angel's like, I got more to say. I'm not done. Glory to God. When it comes to this Lamb of God and building up his habitation, I got a lot to say. I mean, his mouth is full, his heart is burgeoning. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. Well, his hands will also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice. They shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven eyes. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. What are they looking for? Those who will be with the Lord in this way. How precious to the Lord that his eyes ever search for a heart that want to be with him in this faith, in this oneness, in the spirit of the Lamb. You know, I see those eyes fueled by the desire of God to have one after his kind, to have vessels that will give him his son. It's all passion. How precious to be with him in this way. Verse 11, then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees? Now we're looking at the olive trees. Upon the right side of the lampstand and upon the left side of it. And I answered again and said unto him, these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these are? You know, he's in shock again. That Zerubbabel isn't in tune with the things of God that are relating to exactly what he's going through there in the burnt Jerusalem, there in the rebuilding process. He said, no, my Lord. Well, the angel says, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth, One of the ways of translating anointed ones here would read like this. These are the two sons of oil that stand with the Lord of the whole earth. These sons of oil are like golden pipes emptying the golden oil out of themselves. Emptying the golden oil. These sons of golden oil that empty the oil out of themselves. There it is. The Lamb pouring out his divine nature, his eternal essence, pouring out his lifeblood like golden oil, emptying himself like in Philippians 2, thought it not robbery, but made himself of no reputation, emptied himself, fully kenosis, do you know what I mean? Just gave himself, emptied it all, went into death in love to build up something from that eternal. These sons of oil empty the golden oil out of themselves. They let the Lamb pour out of them. They let the golden oil go forth and empty and pour and give himself. These are the ones that are fueling the rebuilding, that are fueling the church, that are bringing a light. They're the fuel. They're the gas for the engine. They're the oil for the lampstand. They're the fuel for the rebuilding process, because they bear the dying of the Lord Jesus in a living way, in a spiritual way. It's the spirit of the Son is richly in them through the spirit of adoption. It's not teaching. It's not doctrine. It's not prayers. It's not ministries. It's not what you say and do. There's oil. There's essence. There's the spirit of the living God, which is the nature of the Lamb in eternal essence, so rich and real in these sons of oil that they pour him out and in so doing fuel the rebuilding process. They are fueling the rebuilding process. They are fueling the rebuilding process. The sons of oil are fueling the rebuilding process by pouring out their life through the nature of the Lamb, by bearing in their body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He said, Zechariah, if you don't see this, you're going to sleep another 15 years, because this is how this temple is going to be raised up. This is how this thing's going to be built. Not by power, not by might, not by all these methods and ways that people say it has to be done like this. You know, no, it's going to be built up through the nature of the Lamb that lays his life down in daily things and little things. Sons of oil that richly pour forth Jesus, and in so doing build up the body of Christ, build up the temple, build up a habitation for God to give himself through. So, you know, I just find so much encouragement in this and so much Jesus. And I think that the Lord wants to encourage us that, you know, it's more than our doing. It's more than all the things that we would call power and might. And it's the spirit of the Lamb, the golden oil, the living Jesus that pours out of us. Pours out of us not just in ministry and things, but in nature, in selfless giving and death. And that's going to fuel the body to be built up into him as a habitation by the Spirit. And what a ministry we have as sons of oil. you know, just bearing the living, self-giving Christ in us. Praise God. There's not a higher ministry than that. That's an eternal priesthood. That's an eternal prince. You know, that it is Christ in us. So, Lord, encourage our hearts today to not grow faint and weary under our own failures, under many years of maybe sleeping or being passive or out of tune, out of the situation of things that seem like mountains both within us and about us. Lord, that by the nature of the Lamb being revived in our hearts, being stirred up like golden oil and poured through us as sons of oil that give and bear him, pour him forth. Lord, that this temple can be raised and grace will be shouted, because it will be by the Lamb and by the Father receiving him, exalting him, raising him. And he will be the substance of this temple and the glory within it. And he will come forth and be built through these very ones that have joined with him in this heart and carried him in this way and fueled the body by the Spirit of Jesus, the Lamb. So have your way in us, Lord. Encourage us. Strengthen our faith as vessels of Jesus, the Lamb. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.